Stephen Caldwell, along with Christian Jack and Luke Weilman and Andy Petrillo and a number of others, did such a terrific job covering this entire tournament. And he's got some well-deserved downtime coming, but not quite yet, because Stephen is with us now on the program. So it's the day after the morning before, Stephen. Let me guess, the feet up today, cigar in hand, maybe a nice little drink. Are you allowing yourself some time to relax after the grind?
Yeah, a little bit of time just to unwind after what was, you know, an incredible World Cup, and spend some time with my two boys again. I've seen a lot of them in the last month. So, yeah, it's a weird feeling today, I have to say. It's sort of, you know, proud of the work that we did and covering what was a fantastic World Cup, but just kind of strange not having to get up early and put a suit on and go into the studio.
4-2 France. Did the score accurately reflect the play in yesterday's final?
It was a weird game, wasn't it? It was sort of strange. I think the VAR decision was, you know, played a very prominent role, and even the goals as they sort of went in, it just seemed like, I thought Subasic was at fault for Pogba's goal, and Mbappe's probably would be a bit disappointed with that. And then obviously the Lloris error was huge as well. So it was just kind of a strange game. And for a World Cup final, normally you see it really tense and tight, and two sides, you know, not really opening up. But it was a strange game with the goals that went in. And I think that, you know, Croatia really played their part. They had some great periods of possession. I thought they were the better team in the first half, no doubt. And they were really rocked by that VAR decision, the handball on Perisic just before half time that Griezmann put away, of course. That, you know, affected the game, and I think it affected him a little bit.
Stephen, just a tremendous job, you know, from a casual soccer fan. You guys did such a great job of explaining the specifics and unique details of what went on during a game. So your crew was outstanding, and just for two straight months, by the way, not for a week-long series. But as the games went on, it just became better and better and better, and the games got so good. What stood out for me was the individual skill level of the young players. And in hockey now, we're seeing more young players come in that are higher skilled and are willing to try things. But that, to me, really stood out. Some of the goals that were scored were a creativity that you would sense the coach would be yelling, no, 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 yes, when the ball went in the net.
Yeah, some tremendous football, wasn't it? It was real, you know, fast counter-attack. First of all, I appreciate the words, Dave. Thank you for saying that. But, yeah, the Mbappe and, you know, the Belgium goal against Japan was just phenomenal. You know, corner goes in, Courtois grabs the ball, De Bruyne runs the length of the field, and, you know, two passes later, it's in the back of the net. Magnificent moments throughout the World Cup, and I heard you guys chatting a little bit before I came on here and talking about the speed that these guys operate at. It's something else, I have to say. I was fortunate enough to play a number of games in the Premier League, and I played against some of the world's best, and that was 20, 15 years ago. You know, now it's another level, and you just can't believe how quick these guys move and how much control and balance and grace that they have. And I think Mbappe just epitomises that. He's just 19-year-old, and he's just sitting there ripe and ready to become, you know, the next greatest player in the world, if not there already.
Stephen, we were talking about Mbappe before you came on, and you bring him up there. You know, Dave and I would acknowledge that we enjoy soccer, but there's a lot for both of us to learn about the game. At 19 years old, playing for PSG, he's obviously going to be a huge component of the French national team for the next decade and a half. But professionally, what typically would be the career arc over the next 10 to 15 years for somebody like Mbappe, in terms of where he ends up and all of that?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. It's a hard one to answer. I mean, at some point, you have to expect he's going to come to a Premier League or to La Liga, or even both. He's that young. He could have, you know, 3 or 4 years in Paris, try and win the Champions League with Paris, who, you know, have an incredible amount of money and talent and quality. So I'm sure he wants to achieve things with the club that he's at now. And then you would expect Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man City, Man United, Chelsea, are all going to be in the hunt. Juventus have just signed Ronaldo, so you know they're not messing around as well. Serie A is coming back a little bit in terms of popularity and quality. So I don't really know. I got a feeling he's going to play for Real Madrid at some point in his career. He looks like a Real Madrid player to me. I can just see him in that white shirt, white shorts, and white socks, just standing there and devastating defences in La Liga. So that's where I think he'll go. But I think he'll be at Paris for the next 4 or 5 years at least.
Stephen, just changing gears a little bit and looking ahead to the World Cup that will happen in North America in 2026 and the challenge that Canada has to build a team that can compete. And you've watched different countries emerge through your time in the game. And I guess you have to look for some steps to take, but John Herdman taking over the men's program now after all the success with the women's program. Just talk a little bit about the challenge we have here in Canada of taking those next steps professionally.
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge. And, you know, it's quite a new game to us here in Canada. We had some success, obviously, being in the World Cup a long time ago. But it's difficult. The geography of the country is difficult. We have such a large space, and we really struggle. To me, there's important things that need to be done. I think you need to make elite soccer free. It costs too much money. It needs to be free. They need to find a way of getting the best players in the best league. And right now, there's too many options and too many choices. There's academies and there's community clubs and different areas to go. We obviously have three professional teams at the moment in Toronto FC, Montreal and Vancouver that play in MLS. We have another league that's developing, Canadian Premier League, next year. That's going to help. But in terms of that grassroots development, we need to get, provincial leagues, provincial programs. We get the best players, the best young kids playing against the best of the best. And that's the only way that you get better, in my opinion. I would make it free for all kids of that level so that there's no restrictions. Just now, to me, if you're, a one-parent family or you have some financial restrictions, there's not really a great way for you to get into, elite soccer, I call it, sort of 12 to 17, that elite level. It's difficult. You sort of, the system's built and you kind of miss out. So we need to make sure that we get into these areas and everybody has an opportunity to play the game.
With Stephen Caldwell, a TSN soccer analyst, it's Scott MacArthur, Dave Poulin, Overdrive on TSN 1050. So if you were to pick up off of that answer, Stephen, and outline a multiple-point program that would work for you to put Canada in the best position possible to put up a good showing when we co-host the 2026 World Cup, what would that look like?
Well, we need to all get in a room and we need to start coming up with a plan together. That's the other thing, that we have a lot of different factions and different ideas in Canada, and we've never really, came together as a soccer community and decided this is the plan. So, that's why John's been brought in. He's did it with the women's program. He has success with that. He's a good planner and builder. And, of course, he has to be a good coach as well. That's also his responsibility. But it's not his only responsibility with this men's program, and you have Jason DeVos, who was obviously a colleague of ours at TSN, now is in that development role, trying to improve coaching. It's another big thing that Jason's working on, different licenses and opportunities for coaches to develop. But I think we start now, we come up with a plan, we get everybody who, the decision makers in the same room, we agree on that plan, and then we move forward, we don't look back, and we commit to it. Another thing you could say, we could go on and on about this for ages, guys, but, facilities as well. We don't have enough pitches. We don't have enough areas for these kids to play. When we do have grass pitches, they're not of the quality needed to really develop that skill and that pace of a De Bruyne and a Hazard and a Mbappe. I know these kids learn on the streets, but eventually when they hit a point, 13, 14 years old, they then get the best of the best. They get challenged against quality players. I had that pass in Scotland and then England when I moved down there, and I was always being challenged to what the level was, and realising that, maybe I'm a good kid in Stirling, but when I get to Glasgow, I'm one off 20, and when I get to England, to Newcastle, I'm one off 45, so I'm always fighting that battle to prove my quality mentally as a football player. That's the environment we need to try and create here in Canada.
Stephen, thanks so much for your time. And again, congratulations to you and the rest of the crew on really what was an awesome month. It was fantastic, and those of us who were able to watch as often as we did learned a lot. So thank you for your work.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care, Stephen.
Stephen Caldwell, TSN soccer analyst. He joined us on the Maple Toyota hotline. Hurry into Maple Toyota during the Toyota 2018 factory event, where you can get rates from 0%. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.